What makes this EP special to you?
When I started writing, the whole process of writing this EP was really unique. And I was writing a lot for other artists. And I felt like, I mean, as I already had said, like, I felt like I was kind of trying to fit in this box of, like, you know, the perfect pop song. And so this EP to me is kind of like just the honest, like the most honest music I've written. Just because I didn't care about boxes, I didn't care about how it turned out, I didn't care about making it like, you know, a number one. I just wanted it to be completely and utterly authentic. And so while we were writing, it was in a very like short period of time. I flew my friend out from Nashville, who we've been friends for a couple of years. She's an amazing writer and also an artist. And we just sat in my guest house in LA for a week and wrote. And it was like every cool idea that would come up, we would just like just mold it into what is now Prescriptions. And I don't know, it's probably the one thing that I'm the most proud of so far.
Where do you think you get your sound from? Your voice sounds very unique. It's yours. I there's not a lot of people that sound like you. So where do you get your sound from?
I think my sound developed from my limitations as a singer. And accepting that I can work really hard to be a Mariah Carey, but I probably will never be that, you know? And so just taking like all of my assets and allowing those to flourish. So whatever, I grew up listening to a lot of pop, but I also grew up listening to like Tupac and Rage Against the Machine and Live and Fleetwood Mac.
Great.
You know, and so I feel like what I sound like now is just a product of what I listened to growing up. So I still have like the very strong like pop sensibilities, but then when I sing, it's coming more from like an alternative pop perspective.
I gotcha. A lot of up-and-coming artists and newer artists or people that are like trying to make a splash, they usually try and cover a track to kind of let people know what they sound like. I mean, I love your EP, but you said Live, and the first thing that Throwing Copper is one of the first CDs I ever bought. I love that CD. And you ever think of covering something like Selling the Drama or like Lightning Crashes?
Absolutely. That record changed my life. That record when I first got that record, I was like, I remember holding it because we used to buy CDs. And I remember holding it and taking it wherever I went. And I was just like, what is this? Like, this is magic. Like, I don't know what it is, but it's magic. And I'd never heard anything like that before. And I was like, I need to do something like this. I need to create such an influential record that people will pick it up 20 years from now and be like, I still love this. Because it made me feel some type of way, you know?
All right, so let's take that to Prescriptions. Why do you think someone should buy it? Like, the music industry is so different from, you know, that moment when you said that you would carry around that CD with you. People don't do that anymore. You know, people go on iTunes and they'll pick a song. So I'll give you like a hypothetical. If you could get behind someone, like, you know, be that little Jiminy Cricket on their shoulder when they're about to like click, or they don't know if they're going to click and buy a Krista Young song, how do you think you'd convince them to pick up this record or this EP?
I would threaten their life. I would say that a lot of the music, this is my long way around your answer. I think there's a lot of music out there that's really great. But I also think a lot of music that's out there right now is very forgettable. And so, and it's forgettable because it wasn't written in a space of pure authenticity and vulnerability. And I think that in order to connect for me as an artist to my audience, I have to show you everything. It's kind of like that emotional connection you have with like a partner, right? Like you have to just let down your walls and show them everything. And so I would probably say to them, I would like to give you all of me. And I think that all of me, there, all of the different parts of me are very much like all of the parts of you. And so I would just say, if you feel like you need a connection to something, this is probably a really great EP for you to buy.
Speaking of opening up yourself and vulnerability, Xanax comes from that type of place. Can you just tell our listeners how that song was put together and what it means to you?
When I was 8, I had my first panic attack, and it was the most horrifying experience of my young life. And throughout, you know, from 8 years old till when I was 16, I was dealing with, you know, separation anxiety. I'm an only child. Mm-hmm. My mom was pretty overprotective. And I just had these bouts of panic. And when I was 16, I went to the doctor and they were like, oh, like, you know, we're going to prescribe you this thing. And I was like, okay, whatever. And I remember taking it for the first time in the middle of this panic attack and going, oh my gosh, I don't have to live my life like this. Like, not that I would ever abuse it, because I'm just not a pill popper.
Mm-hmm.
But it gave me some sense of, like, I'm going to be all right. And so that paired with, like, years of, like, therapy and trying to figure out what I was so afraid of. And throughout that time, I realized that, you know, yes, Xanax is great, like, to take away the panic right there. But there was so much more work I had to do, and I had to dig so deep inside myself that eventually I was like, okay, I'm really scared of being alone. But I'm never alone, because I'm always here for me. And so Xanax came, when I wrote it, it was like, I want people to know that no matter what happens in their life, and no matter, you know, if they're sitting at home by themselves, I mean, people can feel alone in a group, right?
Mm-hmm.
But no matter what, you take yourself with you. And so it's ultimately a love song to yourself to say, you have all the tools inside of yourself to be all right.
All right, so that got pretty deep. So let's have some fun. So you told us a little bit about your music taste. So you mentioned some Tupac, you mentioned some live. Let's have a little bit of fun. Give me a song on your iPhone or your iPad or your iPod or whatever that you love, but you're absolutely ashamed of. Like, you don't like to tell people that you like this song or this artist, and tell us why.
I don't really think there's any song I'm ashamed of. I love Missing You. I'm missing you at all. Like, I love that song. And but I'm, like, pretty proud of that. So. I mean, some people think it's really corny, but I love that song.
Mm-hmm.
A song that I'm ashamed of liking. Let me think for a second. I think that Hit 'Em Up, Tupac, is, like, also one of my favorite songs.
Mm-hmm.
And but I'm also really not ashamed of liking that either. I would say, like, all the songs, I don't have a good answer for you. You stumped me. You stumped me. I don't think there's any song that I like that I'm ashamed of liking. But I also fart in front of people and look at people and do all of that stuff too. So I don't really have a big censor when it comes to stuff like that. So
yeah.
That's probably not the best question to answer.
All right, no problem. All right, so what are your short-term goals for this EP? And then, like, moving forward, what's next after that?
So the EP is really funny because we wrote it, just me and Julia. Well, her name is Sinclair. We wrote it together, and we wrote it on acoustic guitar. Mm-hmm. That's how we start. And I know in LA there's a lot of top lining going on, just writing melody and lyrics to tracks. But when I write my original stuff for myself, I prefer to start from, like, bare bones, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was looking for a producer for these songs, I was going back and forth and just, you know, trying different things out, and I couldn't get it to the point where I was like, yes, this is it. And when I sent over Xanax to Gladius, he sent the track back to me, and I was like, yes, this is what I wanted that I didn't know that I wanted. The rest of the EP is a little bit more stripped down. And that was for two reasons. One, because I really thought that the songs shined that way. And sometimes you have to know when to stop because a project can go on for years.
Sure.
So I was really pleased with the way that, it turned out. And I have a very good friend, Robin Gosh, who did all of the guitar work on all of the songs. And then Jan Perchuk, who helped me, you know, produce it to a level where I thought, yeah, this is it. So that being said, I wanted to release it because I've been working on it for such a long time. And you're never going to feel like you're done with anything. So I wanted to just put it out there. So my short-term goal with the EP is to kind of get people interested in and connecting with the songs and liking the vibe of the songs. And then my long-term goal is to have a fully produced album sooner than later. So I've been working on titles and concepts, and I'm probably going to fly out to Nashville and get back in with Sinclair and do the kind of have the same process, just sit down for a week and write it out. So yeah, that's short-term goal, have people like my music. Long-term goal, take over the world.
Is there anything else that you want to say to people who have never heard your music before? Like, kind of like why they should listen to you? What makes you special?
I would say I'm really looking forward to connecting with each and every one of them. Like, I'm really interested in people, and I'm really interested in their stories, and I'm really interested in how music impacts them and how it allows them to either, you know, how it enhances their life and creates more happiness, or how it gets them out of a really tough situation. Because music has always been that for me, and I couldn't have done a lot of things in my life without listening to songs. Songs got me through everything. And so I'm really, really looking forward to establishing like a really cool connection with people. And I really want to hear what they have to say. Because at the end of the day, it's like, and also with the video, Xanax, a love song, we did a video for it that's coming out in the middle of August. And I intentionally did not want to be the focal point of that video. So you'll see a lot of storylines in the video and a lot of different situations and scenarios and just life things.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not really about me. I kind of want to hear what my audience has to say.